You know, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. There must be a lot of evil going on in the world because there's a lot of loving going on with money. Today, talking about inflation, about economic uncertainty, a lot of concern. And I know most of us wouldn't confess that we, quote, love money. But let's face it, it can become a big part of our lives and cross over that border sometimes to create sin in our lives. Hey, Dr. Randy here on Labor Day. And we thought, well, you guys and ladies, you labor hard, partly to make money, right, for your family and support your family. We thought today we'd ask at least one question. Is money a friend or a foe in your marriage? And we'd love to hear your comments on our storyline, which is 888-888-1717. Today we have calls from our archives already selected, ready to go from a previous program. But your comments live on our comment line would be greatly welcomed. Again, 888-888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Marty calling in regarding your show today with regards to financial harmony. I think one of the most important things for couples, particularly young couples, which I'm not a young couple anymore. I've been married 26 years and fortunately have had some blessings from the Lord with regards to just having some fundamental financial stewardship. One, tithe. Tithe is important. You cannot outgive God. Number two would be, you know, really, and I got this from a book called The Millionaire Next Door, and that is inoculate yourself from consumerism. We are a consumer-driven society, and if you think about it, it's all about consumption, not about need or value or, you know, stewardship. It's consuming, consume, consume. And you can get yourself dialed in on not consumption, but stewardship. You'll be ahead of the game, and God will bring blessing over the long run.
You're absolutely right, my friend. Listen, there are no U-Hauls on the back of a hearse. You've heard that. It's true. because we leave it all behind. We leave it all behind. And so that message of being intentional about stewardship, taking advantage of what God has given you, using it wisely, it's a gift from Him to you, which really raises that question that we started with, is money a friend or a foe in your marriage? And I guess another question you could ask is, what is your financial goal now in your marriage? I mean, here we are in this economic downturn, high inflation. Who knows if stagflation isn't coming? We don't know. Those of us have been around a few years. We've seen the ups and downs of the economy. And the question is, do you have a goal? Now, a goal should be tied to an intention. Your intention is to be a good steward of God's resources. That's going to drive the kind of goals you make for your money. So again, you're welcome to join us on our storyline today at 888-888-1717. When my wife Donna and I married, 18 and 19 years old, we made a decision at the very beginning that we would set aside a little bit on a regular basis, automatically set aside for these years that we're in now. And you know what? A little bit over an extended period of time makes a difference. And that's true in sharing and giving and tithing as well. Very important. So on this Labor Day, we're talking about how to make your marriage free from stress and bring some of that financial peace that we often hear about into your marriage and relationship. So again, what is your financial goal for your marriage? 888-888-1717.
I'm Parkey Thompson with your Intentional Financial Minute. Money is often a difficult thing to talk about in a marriage. The longer it is not dealt with, the larger and more severe the obstacles often become. Neglecting the proper actions and joint management of finances will not bring health to your financial situation. Husbands and wives must work together. Regardless of whether both work, both must work together when managing finances. God made you to be one, and this is one area that you cannot choose to manage alone. Spouses need to learn from each other's strengths and weaknesses. Working together will help complement and balance those strengths and weaknesses. Have common goals. What does your future look like in 5, 10, 15, maybe 50 years from now? How are you going to be where you both want to be in that same time frame? Intentionally and together, set in place the goals, the milestones, the achievement awards, as well as the communication, the personal discipline, and accountability. Do you know what intentionally working together means? It means you're not working apart and especially against one another. For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
Thank you, Parkey. You just reinforced what I was sharing, this lack of agreement over money. You know, at the end of the day, who you hurt is really yourself as a couple. And if you and your spouse can't agree, you know, the world doesn't get hurt. It's you, your kids, your family. And when we don't agree, here's what happens. When there's a lack of agreement in marriage over anything, but money certainly is a high priority, we freeze and we do nothing. It creates stress and frustration in your marriage. It can lead to resentment. I hear people who hide money from their spouse because they can't trust them because they're not on the same page. We lose the opportunity to experience financial intimacy, which is one form of intimacy in your marriage, coming to an agreement over this blessing from God, and you miss out on God's very best for your marriage. And so, as Parkey just pointed out, setting some goals and having benchmarks, I recommend that at least every 6 months, after you put a plan together, you're reviewing it and talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it, seeing if you're on course. There are two extremes with money in marriage. Either you can care too much about it, and there are people who do. It becomes so central in their life that it becomes a dominant part of the marriage relationship, or they care too little. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, for instance, chapter 5, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase." This is also vanity. In other words, if your love, and we know the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself, but if you love silver, you love abundance, if that becomes the central theme of your life, then there's never enough, and it's never satisfied. Solomon goes on to say, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? I love this verse. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. And boy, there's truth in that as you see people with great abundance and wealth and how it can consume their life. So again, this is a blessing from God, and it's a matter of agreement. But wonderful things can happen. And let me just make this statement, then I'm going to go to the calls. I'm challenging you today, if you're married and you're disagreeing on money, and there might be some real serious issues where you need to get to the root of the issue and put it on the table and get some help, get some counseling, but please, for your sake, for your family, for your future, take responsibility for your finances, because whoever is most intentional about your money wins. If your immediate desires, your immediate wants, the immediate risk in front of you, and if you're a person that just wants to take that risk, maybe it's a gambling issue, or if it's it's watching television and everything that's advertised, you pick up the phone and you spend because you think you need it, or the passions of your life, and what happens is you get into financial trouble. So taking responsibility for your finances should be the beginning point for a couple, and when that happens, better things will happen in the marriage. Okay, let's get started here. Our first call, Laura's on the line in New Mexico. Hi there, Laura. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Doing well. How do you weigh in on this money topic today in marriage?
Well, when you brought it up a few minutes ago initially, I thought I have to call in with a story of praise, and I'm sorry if I cry through this.
That's all right.
Dealing with finances can be an emotional journey, and 8 years ago, my husband and I, we got married. We both had come from a place of divorce prior, and my husband holds a finance degree and a business degree. Mm. I too am educated, but I came to the table with about $10,000 in debt, which, you know, I was not proud of. I was quite ashamed of, but my husband helped me be able to chip away at it, and then through our faith, through our unified practice in going through the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, mm-hmm. we were able to achieve some amazing things in the last 8 years. We are debt-free.
Good for you.
We own a rental property. We both work full-time, and my salary is put towards the 401k, the tithing, so used for very specific things. where we then live, you know, day to day off of my husband's income. But we're both in sales capacity. So any additional incentive bonus we earn per year, we put that away in, you know, additional savings and investments. And we do sit down with our financial planner, not quite 6 months, but once a year. And right now, we're both 44 years old and very proud to say that we have intentions and goals of retiring early based on what we're doing now. So we would like to retire at about 55.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been just able to achieve amazing things, and it's been a very freeing experience, unlike what I had experienced previous in my last marriage. We were just kind of, we weren't following our faith. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of wavering, living almost paycheck to paycheck. If we had it, we spent it, and that's just not who I am today or how I live my life.
Now, Laura, is this people listening saying, now, wait a minute, you want to retire at 55, you're coming into this with debt and some financial challenges, second marriage and all of that. Is it because you have, you're making a great deal more, a lot of money, or is it because of being intentional in how you use it? What's been the secret of making this happen so quickly in your life?
It's absolutely been intentional in how we're choosing to place our funds. We choose not to eat out. That is, you know, if we're on vacation, then we have already put the budget in place to eat out. But in our day-to-day, you know, Monday through Sunday lives, us along with our children, we eat at home. We save so much money. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't drink alcoholic beverages, so that saves a lot of money too. We just that's not who we are, and so we're placing those funds and money that could just be very easily spent day to day, you know, into accounts for savings. Mm. Now, a phrase, I don't think it's Dave Ramsey's particular phrase. I think he has coined it from someone else, but the phrase is, you know, live like nobody else so you can live like nobody else.
Yeah, that's good.
I heard a staggering statistic that one in two people cannot write a check for $500 today if they had to. Mm. And that's a very scary thought. So we are, you know, trying to change the trajectory for our family's future. Each of us did not come from a place of, you know, wealth. We came from, you know, working blue-collar families who, you know, tried to do the right things and put food on the table for their parents, but not living, you know, a life of extravagance. So we just, you know, try to keep ourselves in check, not only, you know, individually with God, but being accountable to each other. And that's made a big difference overall. And it's just, it's increased just the excitement of our marriage. Mm. It's increased the thought of what this money can do through tithing and helping others. We volunteer quite a bit. My husband's on a board of a food pantry. I mean, the things that we've been able to do and achieve have been pretty wonderful, and we're able to touch so many other lives through this as well.
That's fantastic. Well, Laura, I appreciate you sharing your story, and it's not coming from wealth, but coming from, you know, like you say, blue-collar income, but it was making a decision to say, we want to be different. As I said, direct your money today where you want it to be tomorrow, and you made that decision to be intentional, and you're giving God the glory for it, and that's a beautiful thing. Appreciate your call
Absolutely.
Today, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, listen, Laura gave you the real formula there. And at the end of the day, this is a matter of bringing glory to God, but there's benefit to ourselves. That's what we say at Intentional Living. God gets the glory, and we get the benefit. I have a couple specific things I think will be helpful for you on your intentional journey with money and marriage. You're welcome to join us as well. If you have a question, you have a story, you have a problem, 888-888-1717. We're live. I'll be back here in a minute.
Prayer does work in difficult financial times, putting God first. It really does work. My husband and I have intentionally been focused on getting out of debt. And so even when we purchased our house, the focus was not what we qualify for, but what can we really afford. And so when we purchased a house, we got something that was still in line with what we were already paying. We have not held back in giving our contribution to God, even though my hours were cut. And it's just been totally God, and I think because of prayer and because of still putting God first.
That's good. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. 888-888-1717. Money, is it a friend or foe to your marriage? Let me give you what I think is sort of the foundational principle for money, something that my wife Donna and I have lived by in our marriage. And happy to say at this point, you know, we've gotten to a place where what we set in motion 30, 40 years ago, you start to reap the benefit. You start to see the blessing of that as a result of planting and seeding and watering and praying and trusting God. And that's what happens, and happens in the financial area as well. Here it is. Make a decision today together as a couple to spend less than you make on your immediate needs and your wants. As you just heard the caller, you know, maybe you're going to have to back off on eating out quite so often, or maybe it's reviewing how your cell phone expenses or cable television or internet or whatever expenses are. But make a decision to spend less than you make on your immediate needs and wants, and do that over an extended period of time. And I promise there'll be a day that will arrive when you'll be financially free and out of bondage. And as a couple, to put a financial plan together and then enthusiastically together pursue it and celebrate the results. I would tell young couples listening, at least the 10-10-80 that we teach, tithing, saving at least 10%, putting that aside. Maybe the first part goes into an emergency fund, then another portion starts to go into investments for the future. Now, if you're older and you're only getting started now, you may have to really throttle back some of your current expenses or see ways of gaining more income, because you're going to need to save more if you want to have a plan by the time you're 65 or 70 and you want to slow down to be able to have reserves. I know people who live on 50-50. They may live only on 50% of what they make, and the other 50 goes through generosity and sharing and giving and saving. Of course, part of the process should be getting your house paid off. Set a date for that. Maybe you have a 30-year mortgage and you say, we don't want to be 30 years making the payments. You go do the calculator online and see, by adding a little bit to that payment every month, how quickly you can see that house get paid off much earlier. Of course, getting rid of credit cards and the interest that are charged on credit card. Set a date to say you're going to pay off your credit cards. Look at the income and say, we're going to put extra money against those and pay them down and put no more on there. And you may need a financial advisor to help you in the investing process. Be intentional. Put your savings on automatic. Whatever it is that you're doing, if you touch it, if it goes into your bank, if it goes into your pocket or into your checkbook, you're going to be tempted to spend it. If you can put your savings plan into automatic, if you don't see it and touch it, your savings in the process, you're less likely to use it. And then, as I point out, I think it's important for couples to sit down every 6 months, or certainly at least once a year, and review that plan that you've put together. Have a plan and then review it. Again, money, and every financial advisor would probably tell you the same thing, is only a math problem. It's a math issue. And you can have calculators that'll help you. And of course, we live in the uncertain times of investing and so on. But the reality is, if you learn to live on less than you make, and you do it over an extended period of time, there will come a day where there will be financial freedom, or certainly more so than you have today. But it begins by thanking God for what you have, and then also being on the same page, okay? Talking money today, is it your friend or foe in your marriage? What do you do when you disagree about money in your marriage? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Many couples just fight or they ignore it because money is an emotional topic. Just bring it up sometime and see what happens. How you handle your money in your marriage reflects your values, your goals, and your hopes for the future. And it's either a point of great intimacy and closeness in your marriage as you develop goals together and a budget for the future, or it becomes a point of pain. And we find that couples that intentionally follow the 10-10-80 policy, which from intentional living means tithing, which is biblical and God's expectation and command to us, saving 10% consistently, and learning to live on the other 80% will make you happier and less stressed and closer in your marriage. And when you do those things, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. If you're going through marital problems, I think you have to focus on the other person and not on what you're feeling, especially if you're a sensitive person like myself.
John's intentional one thing, placing his wife's needs above his own, saved their marriage.
When I started to show my wife love and understanding and kindness, she wondered what was going on. You know, where's this coming from, this guy who I was fighting with for so long? And she wanted what I had, what we used to have, what we had at the beginning of our relationship, those very same things, the joy, the love, the sharing, the kindness. That's what I showed her. That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
One thing you can do to overcome hurt and strengthen your marriage is to place your spouse's needs before your own. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to start living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
My name is John, and this is my intentional life.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and that's all true, what he said. And I appreciate those of you who are praying for, standing with us, part of the team, and living your life more intentional every day to bring God glory and certainly benefit to yourself. Talking money today, let's get Andrew on, who wants to weigh in on money. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Andy, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Good, man. Some months ago, I taught a little series on money and finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convicted and learned, you know, God's way of, you know, finances. And so I decided that to get rid of debt, you know, and I didn't have a whole bunch of debt, just a couple of things that I needed, you know, to pay off. And I did, you know, and besides a house payment, I don't have any debt. It is a freeing, wonderful
money. Yeah. So what was it you paid off? Was it credit card or consumer debt or was home or what?
So I had some credit cards and I had a car payment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of buckled down and said, all right, I don't have any excuse now.
Yeah.
Because I just taught this, so I better practice whatever.
Hey, can I ask, about how much did you have to pay off and how long did it take you to buckle down and get it off the books?
Oh, it wasn't a whole bunch. It was only maybe a couple thousand or so.
And so you just diverted money into saying, instead of going over here to some other thing, we're going to put it into this and get it paid off.
Yeah, and I was working extra just at the time, and I was like, all right, I can pay all this stuff off. And
yeah,
I just buckled down and did it. And man, it's such a blessing.
You know, there's the Bible talks about that the borrower, the one who borrows money, we become sort of in bondage to the lender. And any business person listening, you know what that means, even in your business, where you have to sign, you know, certain agreements and covenants, and sometimes you're putting your own personal house or whatever on the line. There is an element of bondage to that. There's a responsibility, and there is something that occurs that is freeing when those things get paid off, not only in a business, but also in your personal life. And it becomes a day when we say enough's enough, and we choose to start moving in a healthy direction. Now, you may be feeling overwhelmed when we talk about money today. You may be feeling overwhelmed when you hear these reports of people getting out of debt. You say, I can't do that. I got a house mortgage, and I got cars that I owe on, and I got credit cards, and I got kids going to college and whatever, and you really feel overwhelmed. But you know what? You're going to continue to feel overwhelmed this year, next year, and the following year, and maybe for your whole life, if you don't begin the process of putting into place a plan that will move you to bring more glory to God in the process of your money and experience more freedom. It begins with a first step, and maybe today is that first step to say, okay, enough's enough. I choose to be intentional. I'm going to put a plan together today. I'm going to start moving in the direction to give God the glory. That is intentional with your money.
And then we see in the Bible someone like Felix, the governor, who had an encounter with Paul, as Paul shares the gospel with him, and Felix sends him away and says, I'll talk to you later about that. Obviously, God was giving him an aha moment right then, and he chose to ignore it and go in another direction.
Hey, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on what I call and how an aha moment can change your life. It changed the life of Felix there in the New Testament, as we see that the Apostle Paul was ready to share the gospel with him again and teach him about what God's love means through Christ. And he said, come back later. And that was a decision he made that moment that changed his life. We don't know how. We don't know if he ever got back to it, never got recorded. But you know what? There are moments in our life that can change the direction of our life. And I call them aha moments. That's the teaching this month. Members, watch for it. It's a powerful teaching, a practical teaching coming your way as a way of instruction and teaching and encouraging you and letting you know that we're here for you to live an intentional life in Christ. And I got something exciting for you here on this Labor Day, starting this new month. I just want to say thanks to all of our current members. Thank you for your support. You'll be receiving the teaching, audio and video, in email here in just a little bit, a couple weeks. But for all of you who will join us today, for each person, each individual, maybe you're a couple, a family, a business, as you'll stand up and be a part of intentional living with us in support, because we're listener supported, your monthly support will go to reach people for Christ, strengthen families, help young people make better decisions. And as a way of saying thank you for your monthly support as a new member of Intentional Living, I want to send you my latest book called Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, Overcoming Anger, Worry, and Fear. It's a very practical book, a book that gives out some really important practical one things you can do if you know someone that you love that struggles with an emotion that can get hijacked, like worry or fear or anxiety or grief or anger. We'll get the book to you as a way of saying thank you for joining the monthly support today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, and even on Labor Day, you can do that online. We'll get you set up and we'll make sure you get the book this month and the teaching as well as a way of saying thanks, plus ongoing teaching every month thereafter. So again, go to theintentionallife.com and hit on the little donate icon. We'll make sure you get the book as a way of saying thank you. A very important offer, a very important month for our ministry. So again, thank you for your support. I hope you found today encouraging. Learned one thing that you could take away today to answer the question, is money a friend or a foe in our marriage? I'm Dr. Randy. I'll see you next time from Intentional Living.